6 on the Mike McFeely Show on this Tuesday afternoon, and pun entirely intended, I'm getting blasted for my stance on fireworks in West Fargo, and indeed my patriotism is being questioned because I don't like fireworks being legalized within city limits in West Fargo. So apparently there are those who equate shooting off of bottle rockets and cherry bombs as being somehow patriotic. And if I don't do that, then by God, I'm not patriotic.
We had a call off air. This lady brought up a great point. She said, you know, there's a lot of veterans out there that probably look at fireworks as a bad thing because of whatever after effects. They look at fireworks as bringing back bad memories. And that's completely, I've interviewed vets before and they've said those things. Fireworks, they're tough to be around.
Sure, but the legalization of them is not going to change that because people are still going to shoot off fireworks. My point is that I don't want it. And I guess my take on it was that the caller disputed was that it would increase the number of fireworks being shot off. I think that it would. But don't question my patriotism because I don't want to shoot off fireworks in my neighborhood. I have no problem with fireworks being shot off or people buying thousands of dollars worth of fireworks. We go to a fireworks display every 4th of July over at Morehead State. It's fantastic. I love fireworks displays. But don't say I'm not American because I don't like fireworks displays. I don't want people shooting off fireworks in my neighborhood or right next to my house. And if somebody in Oakport Township does that, I'm not even sure of the legality of fireworks in Oakport Township, but if some of my neighbors shoot them off, there's nothing I can do about it. They're legal, or if they're legal, there's nothing I can do about it. And if they're illegal, I'm not going to call the cops on them. I don't care that much. It just, they cause issues for some people. That would be, and some pets and some animals and some other things. That would be my issue. But we'll move on. We can take some phone calls later in the program on that. Somebody who I know is a great American and a patriot, regardless of his stance on fireworks in West Fargo, is Jim Fugley. He is a blogger from Bismarck, North Dakota, and somebody who has followed very closely and I think been right on every step of the way when it comes to the Extraordinary Places proposal put forth by Attorney General Wayne Stengem, which yesterday was essentially gutted, filleted, and thrown in the grinder by the State Industrial Commission. I want to welcome to the program Jim Fugley. Hello, Jim Fugley. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Mike. I'm sorry. I agree with your caller. I think it's totally un-American to be against fireworks anywhere. But you know, we'll leave that go. I'm excited we're going to talk about medical marijuana today.
But we could do that as well if you want. They're trying to get that going in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Bill Berquist is saying, and we'll hit this before we move on. We'll take a hit. We'll hit this before we move on. Sheriff Bill Berquist in Clay County said that he's okay with medical marijuana if it's handled as a regular pharmacy drug. That far, you know, doctors prescribe it. They can, you know, make sure that the people who are wanting it have actually symptoms that they're talking about and that it's doled out by pharmacies. And
they have to buy it at special places and use it at special places. Mike, so let's talk about that.
Okay, let's. This special Extraordinary Places proposal, Jim, which would have put, I think, some very non-onerous restrictions on drilling and despoiling Extraordinary Places, was essentially, I think, gutted yesterday by the Industrial Commission because they removed the provision that would have allowed public comment on private lands. Can you explain what's going on here and whether or not you agree with me that it's been gutted? And I know you do because I read your blog today.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good analysis. You know, what I've noticed at the last two Industrial Commission meetings is a fairly interesting phenomenon. This is the Attorney General's initiative, and he has brought at both of the last two meetings his proposal to the Industrial Commission to be considered. And the governor, who chairs the Industrial Commission, has opened each of those meetings, the last two, by saying, well, now we're going to discuss the Attorney General's proposal here dealing with drilling permits, and then has launched into his own agenda for this idea, and simply changed the tone and changed the content of the proposal by the Attorney General. Yesterday, he went so far as to bring in printed amendments before he even called on the Attorney General to talk about what he was there for. And so what happened yesterday is the governor said, well, we're not going to do that because we're not going to deal with private land. And so I've got these amendments here. And Commissioner Goring, what do you think about this? And then Commissioner Goring had to say, and they finally got around to the Attorney General, who by that time had been pretty much humbled. Now, I understand these guys are all on the same team. They're all Republican office holders. And the Attorney General has been in a bad spot. When the captain of the team says, Mr. Attorney General, you're not pitching today. You're playing right field. Wayne Stengem really doesn't have much choice but to go out into right field if he wants to stay in the game. Otherwise, the game is over and he's out. So I feel badly for him because I think he's been well-intentioned in this process all along. But taking away the ability to continue to analyze all of the viewshed or all of the cultural resources or all of the environmental concerns that we have around this list of 18 places, removing the ability to do that on private land simply just takes the heart right out of this proposal. And I feel badly for the Attorney General, and I feel badly for the people of North Dakota.
Well, and if people want to go to your blog, Jim, and you did a wonderful job of outlining why it's so important that the private land part of it was gutted out of this deal, because so many extraordinary places in North Dakota are private land or partially private land. And so if you get rid of that part of it, you're basically saying, nah, just doesn't matter. You know, the Badlands are both publicly and privately owned. I think, you know, many buttes, Sentinel Butte and others in West North Dakota are in private hands. It's private property. And so if you take that off the table, you're essentially telling the oil companies, have at it, boys. You can do whatever you want, because by God, we don't want to stop this stuff from happening on private lands in the western part of the state.
Well, sure, 95% of North Dakota is privately owned, unlike many states where the federal government or the state government owns big chunks of wilderness areas or backcountry. In North Dakota, most of the land is privately owned. In the oil patch, much of the land is privately owned. And what's happened here, by removing the ability to scrutinize the location of drilling sites and routes to those drilling sites on private land, is out of the 18 places that the Attorney General proposed we be careful here, 8 of those are now gone. Black Butte, Camel Sump Butte, Sentinel Butte, White Butte, Twin Butte, the confluence area of the Missouri and Yellowstone, all of Lake Sakakawea, other than the shoreline, is privately owned. Even the Kilder Battlefield is privately owned. And so those things, there's open season for drilling wells in those areas right now, and those are pretty important areas to a lot of people. But the big loser here is the Little Missouri River Valley. Back in the 1930s, when the Dust Bowl, when all the ranchers were going broke in North Dakota, the federal government stepped in and bought up much of the Badlands and then let the ranchers keep their home place but leased back the rest of the ranch back to them for pennies on the dollar, and that's a practice that still takes place today. And so many of the home places were right on the river. And so almost all, I'd say about 90% of the river valley is privately owned. So what's going to happen now when the oil companies get ready to drill, instead of setting their oil pads a mile or so from the river where it's public land and they will fall into that buffer zone, they're going to want to put their wells right beside the river because that's privately owned and they won't be subject to any scrutiny. And the bad part of that is that many of those ranchers don't own the minerals under their land. So there's going to be oil wells plunked down right alongside the Little Missouri River, where the rancher who owns the land can't do anything about that, because in North Dakota, of course, mineral rights trump the land ownership. And that really makes me sad. You know, last spring, some friends of mine and I were canoeing the Little Missouri River. We came around a bend in the river about 15 miles north of Medora, and there was a brand spanking new oil well right smack on the bank of the Little Missouri River. A big pad eroded into it, all kinds of tanks there, all kinds of noise and a flare right beside the Little Missouri River. And that's going to happen more and more, and that makes me sad.
Jim Fugley, blogger from Bismarck, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. I linked to Jim's blog today on my Facebook page. if you want to go there and check it out. Mike McFeely is my name, M-C-F-E-E-L-Y. Check out my Facebook page, and I provided a link to Jim's fabulous blog today. The other interesting thing I find in this whole discussion, Jim, is how many people are talking about private property rights, how, you know, it's all about private property. We don't want to, you know, impede on the rights of people who own private property to do whatever the heck they want to do with their land. That's become sort of a rallying cry for many people in the state of North Dakota. And even Governor Dalrymple and Doug Gorin and others have you know, talked about constitutional rights, as if Wayne Stengem, as an attorney, doesn't know about constitutional rights. But they're talking about private property rights. I find it interesting because it doesn't take much to look back in time and look back in history and find when people like the Doug Gorins and Jack Dalrymples were actually against private property rights. And I think of things like the ranch out in the Badlands, and was it the Eberts Ranch or the Eberts Ranch?
The Eberts Ranch.
Remember that story when they wanted to sell their land to the federal government to make it into a, you know, part of the national park or to preserve it forever? My God, Jim, people were going ballistic because they stopped or wanted to stop the Eberts from selling their private property to the federal government. They were going crazy. The governor of North Dakota, Jim, if I'm not mistaken, has the right in the end to stop farmland from being sold to nonprofit corporations under the corporate farming law. So
does on a regular basis, yes. Mike. You're right. That's the downside of our great corporate farming law, is that the conservation organizations are 501c3 nonprofit corporations, and they're not allowed under the corporation farming law to buy land unless they get the governor and this committee, of which Doug Goring, I believe, is also the chairman, to sign off on it. And over and over and over, ranchers come to the Nature Conservancy or Ducks Unlimited or Pheasants Forever and say, I've got a great piece of wildlife habitat here. I would sell it to you for a reasonable price so we can make sure that that stays in habitat and doesn't get developed or plowed up. And they go to the Industrial Commission, they go to the committee that the governor and Doug Goring are on, and they said, no, we're not going to let you do that. So, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy. I often say that we always ought to spell the word hypocrisy with a capital H, and these guys are living proof of that.
That's the most stunning example of screaming one thing and then living another thing. That in one case, you know, the Farm Bureau and the ranchers and all these people are screaming bloody murder over private property rights, but then at the same token, nope, they want to stop somebody from exercising their private property rights. It's so obvious and sad.
The other thing that Wayne Stengem pointed out yesterday is that 80% of the landowners in North Dakota don't own the minerals under their land. Someone else owns those minerals. What's happened is the homesteader ended up selling off, or his son or his grandson sold off the farm but kept the minerals way back in the 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s, saw some value in those minerals. And now there are 42 grandchildren that own those mineral rights, but the guy that's on the farm or the ranch doesn't own the mineral rights. He has no say about what they can do on his land. They can go in and drill a well on his land anywhere they want to because they own the minerals and he doesn't. And so what about those property rights? I would think that the Agriculture Commissioner would want to be sticking up for the landowners, the farmers, and the ranchers, and not the absentee, out-of-state mineral owners.
Yeah, you'd think so, Jim, but that's not the way things are working in North Dakota in 2014. No. It's all about oil, and it's all about who has the ear of the governor, who has the oil, and has the oil companies in Oklahoma and Texas and every place else. It's a sad state of affairs, in my view, and it's sad to see happen. So,
Mike, I appreciate you bringing this up on your show and keeping it in front of your listeners. It's an important issue. I don't think it's over yet. There are a lot of fights and battles to be fought yet in the Badlands. They're too special to let them go. We've got to draw the line somewhere and say we've got to find a way to protect the Badlands. It's just so important that we do that, and I appreciate you using your show to do that.
You bet, Jim. Thank you. Come back again, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
Yep, you got it. Jim Fugley, Bismarck, North Dakota. Again.